the COVID drama upon us again, isn't it? COVID and everything goes with it. And thankfully, we're just at a situation where we still meet together. We've got to wear those uncomfortable masks. But praise God, we can still gather together and worship Him. And I thought my mind, even as we're worshiping, my mind went sort of back to Peter in the prison there and in the shackles, you know, and they were praising God despite their shackles. And we're a little bit shackled today, but nothing compared to being beaten and bruised and perhaps having our ribs, you know, a few kicks in the ribs, and well, we're going to praise God anyway, but all that hurts when we try to sing. But they did anyway. And good on you for overcoming this bit of shackle we've got today of wearing masks, which is not insignificant. But I wonder, as we think about the COVID restrictions, what do you think has been the greatest loss to us on a personal level during all the lockdowns and those things? Yes, there's been a cost to business, there's been big economic losses, and we certainly don't make light of that. That's not inconsequential. It's been quite a burden to many businesses and individuals who work in them. But what's the biggest personal cost of all? What's been the biggest thing? And even though our situation, as I said, is not as serious as for some others, I would guess that if we were to ask individuals here today, what is the greatest loss of COVID? And I think we'd all agree it's the loss of the actual presence of our loved ones, of actually being near our loved ones. And at the lowest point of COVID, even for us here in Queensland, it was keenly felt at important events like weddings and funerals and significant birthdays. We couldn't be with those people. You know, we saw the heart-wrenching things of people who, you know, someone had come to the end of their life, perhaps in their 70s or 80s, and what, five people could come to the funeral? Was it to get down to five, did it? Certainly it was no more than 10. And all those people who they gathered in family and friendship over that time, but they couldn't be there. They couldn't be present with their loved ones. And we all know if you love somebody, what you long for more than anything else is that person's presence with us. Now, photos are something. We can look at photos and they evoke memories, and that's nice. And we can make telephone calls and send emails and texts, and they're also good points of contact. And letters. Anyone remember letters? They were things you wrote out and sent in the mail. Increasingly rare, but great to receive. And even things like Skype and FaceTime and Messenger and Zoom, they give us an immediate face-to-face experience. All those things are great, but nothing compares with actually spending time with someone in person. I speak for Josie and I when I say one of the most painful parts for us is that we've had to forego annual visits to the four grandkids in California. And their parents as well, of course. We didn't mind spending time with them as well. But certainly the four grandkids. And we see them regularly on Zoom and Messenger and that kind of thing. But it's not the same. It's certainly not the same when the grandkids insist on putting rabbit ears on you and all those kind of things and sparkly things. And we think, are you listening to me? Or are you putting whiskers on me and things like that? Those who don't know about that, well, talk to someone young and you'll see what they can do with your face on a screen. But anyway, last week we were able to watch them play dominoes. We spent about an hour just watching them play dominoes on the kitchen table there and showing off their budgies and even their guinea pig, Gianna, showing the guinea pig. But it's just not the same. There's no substitute, is there, for the real presence of those we love. Amen? Amen. Certainly true. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, they lost much more than their previously untested innocence. They lost more than that amazing real estate of the Garden of Eden. When they sinned, they lost the most precious thing that they had. They lost the immediate presence of God. Just imagine. They were walking with God like you and I with one another now. They walk in the garden. Adam says, God says, Adam, show me the strawberries. Yes, they're over here, Father. Come have a look at the strawberries. They're growing great. I've put some netting over some of them so the birds can have some, but we don't want to have them all. And, you know, and they were able to have these conversations with God until they sinned. And then they lost the immediate presence of God. And we fast forward to the time of the nation of Israel. The things that distinguished him from other nations was just not the law of God, not just his written instructions and precepts which they had. The distinguishing feature of Israel above all nations was God's presence with them. He was present with them in their wilderness wanderings, in the pillar of cloud by day and the fire by night. He was present with them in the land, in the tabernacle, and later in the temple. Now the temple was much more than a place of sacrifice. It was a place of the presence of God. You know, sometimes the presence of God was there so powerfully that the priests couldn't go and minister because God's presence was so strong. And then they were exiled, weren't they? And their exile from the land following that persistent rebellion was a disaster for the people. Not just for the sufferings that they endured, not just for the sufferings, but because they were away from God's immediate presence. That was the biggest loss. For Adam and Eve in the garden, and for Israel, losing the presence of God. But this loss of God's presence would not go on forever. God gave us a promise. God promised to be right there in the midst of his people again. And this promise was not about his presence in a new Garden of Eden, though we know things are going to be restored in eternity. Many of those things we lost, but nor a geographical promised land, not even a new physical temple. The fulfillment of this promise was to be the coming of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The promise to be with us and amazingly to be in us. To be with us and to be in us. God. Sometimes it's hard to get our head around that, isn't it? God in us. And not in some weird, we are gods, like some New Age theology, I'll call it that, some New Age philosophy theology goes into we are gods. No, we are not gods, but God chooses to come and dwell in us by his Spirit. And that's amazing. That's amazing. And God has often spoken of his presence amongst his people. It's referred to again and again in the scriptures. And a scripture like Psalm 46 rings out with recognition of his presence. Just a few verses from that psalm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's right there. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. As I mentioned earlier, in this psalm and in many other places in the Old Testament, the presence of God was associated with Jerusalem. It was associated particularly with the temple there in Jerusalem. But then came Jesus. Then came Jesus. And then when Jesus was on earth, he declared that his body was the temple where God was present. Jesus said in John chapter 2, he said, Jesus answered them, destroy this temple and I'll raise it again in 3 days. It's a bit like Emma's reference to the body and blood, you know. They thought literally about the body and blood of Jesus and went, oh, we can't do that. And the temple the same way. Jesus spoke about destroying the temple and they thought, oh, he's talking about pulling down this edifice and raising it up in 3 days. That can't happen. It took years to build. They replied, it's taken 46 years to build this temple, but the temple he'd spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said, then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. So Jesus talked about him being the temple, and then following that came the day of Pentecost, and God's presence came to dwell with his people through the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ. There was first fruits of that even through the Old Testament, wasn't there? God would do that at times. He would fill a person, the prophets in particular, and the kings. He would fill a person, the prophets and the priests. He would touch them with his Spirit, and for a time and for a purpose. I mean, even Samson was filled with the Spirit of God. Some of us would say, well, I could have picked someone better than Samson, but that's what God did. He filled people with his Holy Spirit for particular purposes and for particular times. But this was going to be more. This was going to be more, not just for an incident. This had been prophesied in Ezekiel 36, and I'll put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Jesus also spoke directly of his Holy Spirit indwelling in John 16. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is come. So this Spirit of truth, is going to come in us and actually lead us and guide us. Who needs some guidance now and again? Yeah, one or two of us. We do, don't we? And in the New Testament, again, God's presence is not in the physical temple, but with his people, a holy temple. And we read about that in in Ephesians 2. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, speaking to us, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household, built on the foundations of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become what? A holy temple in the Lord. Us, a holy temple. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So he lives us individually, and he also lives within us as a church in a corporate sense. We talked a bit about that last week, didn't we? About how God dwells in us. And the reality of this presence of God's Spirit in us means that we can step back sometimes and just take a deep breath. Because in life, it always seems that there's so much to do, so many demands, and it's tempting to just live our life as if we are just a driven person, just got to do this thing and that thing and go, 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 and just live in that driven way. But God encourages us. There again in Psalm 46, he encourages us, says, be still and know that I'm God. Just take a breath. Just step back and just reflect that I am in you. That I am in you. And we need to do that. We need to just step back sometimes from our busyness, from our activity. There's got to be busyness. There's got to be activity in our life. We can't function in society without that. But God is saying to us, you must take time to step back from all of that and just reflect and take a deep breath and just recognize that God is in you. To be still, to be listened to him. So just heading back again into Psalm 46, I just want to note some of the blessings that come from acknowledging and walking in his presence, from really reflecting and knowing that yes, God's presence is here with me. First of all, in his presence, we have peace. As I said, our world is full of frenetic activity. There's noise all around us all the time. There can even be noise within us, bubbling away on the inside with our fears and our anxieties and our concerns, whether they're real or imagined. And sometimes people say, oh, he or she, they're anxious for nothing. They've got nothing to worry about. They've got no reason to fear. But you must know, from a mental health point of view, that if you feel anxiety, if you feel fear, the anxiety and fear is real. Do we recognise that? To the person who's experiencing it? And that's where we need God, to press into that space and to give us healing, to give us peace. But never say to someone that your fear, your anxiety is unwarranted. That's not helpful. Doesn't help anybody. Pray for them. Offer to get alongside with them. Offer to encourage them. But don't dismiss someone's anxiety as being irrelevant because it's not based on reality. Often they aren't. To be frank, often it's not. But to the person, the anxiety and the fear is very real. Amen? Remember, they have it, not you. It's real. But God can help us with that, because it says in verse 1 there, God is our refuge and strength and an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God wants us to know peace in the midst of every situation. Jesus himself said to us, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. False peace. He says, I'm not going to give you false peace. But do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. I'm going to give you a peace that sustains you in my presence. And I think we'd all say, hey, I need that peace sometimes. I really need that peace from God. And that's where we need to sometimes just be still and dig back into him and in his presence and re-acknowledge that in ourselves. Hey, I've got God's presence in my heart. It's living here in me. What else do we have in God's presence? In God's presence we have joy. We have joy. We have joy every Sunday right here with us. But we have even a greater joy. A greater joy that comes from God's own presence. And what a wonderful illustration the scripture uses of the joy that God brings to our hearts. It says it's like a stream that flows. No matter what else is happening, it's a stream that flows. It's a constant. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God. Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit bringing streams of living water, didn't he? The same analogy. Streams flowing. Living water flowing in us. And that river now is not in a physical city, but in our heart. Now, joy is not the same as happiness. Happiness is happenings dependent. That's where the word comes from. It's happiness. It's to do with happenings. But joy is independent of happenings. It's a steady stream of God's immediate and abiding presence lighting our way. Joy is independent of happenings, the steady stream of God's abiding presence in our life, the joy that God gives in his presence. Another way God's presence is in us is in his presence we have security. We have security. Now we can place our security in all manner of things other than God. And none of these things are wrong in themselves, and there's a measure of natural security, which is reasonable and real and okay. But those things we tend to place our trust in are things like money, a steady job, good relationships, even our health is security. What do they say? As long as I've got my health. Well, what if you don't have your health? What if you don't have your health? God wants us to place our security in him alone as the preeminent security. As I said, it's not that those things are unreasonable to take some security in them. Of course, that's part of our humanity. to have security in those things. And I think psychologically, we do get a bit amiss if all those things are stripped away from us. But God wants us to know that even if all that went, that we would still have security in Him. We all know, all of our money can disappear. Plenty of people have known, I don't know in this church, but I know people who've known bankruptcy, where they've had nothing left. They've had a zero bank balance. They've had no money. If that was their security, it's gone. A steady job. Anyone here ever lost a job? Yeah, several of us have. We've lost jobs. We know that can strip away our security. Good relationships. I know some people here have lost good relationships. Sometimes good relationships turn bad and they were lost. And at some point, our security was in that relationship. And then, quite cruelly, that was ripped away from us. And if that was our security, then where are we now? And I said, even our health. Our health can go in an instant. You know? I used to teach high school, and sometimes you get teenagers being a bit mocking about the disability of some people. When we're young, we tend to do that. We grow out of it usually. And some of the sit down kids give them a good sit down and say, look, you know you're an accident away from being that person. You're an accident, young woman, from losing your good looks that you place so much trust in. You can be in a car accident, you can be disfigured, you can all go. David's nephew had it all taken away from him in a car accident. Praise God, he's healing, but it can all go in an instant, our health, if that's our security. But God wants to place our security in Him. God is within her. She shall not fail. God will help her at break of day. As I said, there's nothing wrong with doing our best to have security in the natural. There's wisdom in that, but God wants us to hold on to the truth that in the end, He is our security. And praise God He is. Because one day, like Margaret, we're going to leave all that security behind, aren't we? So we're not taking any of it with us. We're going to step through the door, say my security's not there anymore. Wow, but look where it is now. Wow. You're entitled to feel a little bit jealous of Margaret at the moment. Seriously. In God's time. It's all in God's time. But one day we'll leave all that security behind. And finally, in His presence, we have protection. We have protection. Now, fear abounds from many quarters, doesn't it? There are sometimes real physical threats to our safety. You know? I think when Josie and I lived in Haiti, that was the most dangerous city to live in, Port-au-Prince, apart from a war zone. There's places you couldn't go, shouldn't go. Our own neighbourhood. If you're a woman, you could not go out after dusk. You just would have been... anything could have happened. It'd been very unwise. Even as a man, I used to be very careful where I went, when I went. It's dangerous. Sometimes there are real physical threats to our safety. And sometimes we may feel our health is at risk, especially in a COVID season. And on a global level even, we may have grave concerns about international threats to world security and therefore our own. It's been quite a bit of saber rattling going on the last week or so, hasn't there? Won't mention any names, but certain nations have been saying, well, we're feeling that you guys in the West are looking a bit weak at the moment. And I think we are. And saying, well, look at us. We're pretty powerful. Watch yourselves. Now that can cause fear in our hearts. No one wants to be involved in another war, do we? Especially not a global one. But God says, ultimately, He is our protector. He is our protector. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God fights for us and protects us. Hallelujah. So we have peace, we have joy, we have security, we have protection in the presence of our God. And that's a presence, as far as I know, I think everyone here, we enjoy that presence. We have a place we can go to. A place we can, if you like, a hiding place. That is the presence of God. We have a God who's not far from us. Never far from us. He presences himself not just around us, but within us. Amazing as that is, it's true. And we can be grateful for, and we can trust in that presence. Sometimes we just need to, as I said earlier, just pause, close our eyes, and breathe deeply, and just sense the presence of the Holy Spirit flooding our heart and our soul and our mind and body. Now sometimes, particularly in Pentecost, we've been a bit turned off that, oh, it sounds a bit New Agey, breathing in and, God, fill me. It's not New Agey. It's not New Agey. It's another one of those things that's God's, and the enemy steals and takes from us what is ours. Where does meditating come from? It comes from the Word of God. Spoken of again and again, the Word of God. Meditate on his nature. Meditate on his Word. It's not New Age, it's God. It's the Word of God. So we can just sit there and just sit in a chair and just close our eyes, maybe have some nice worship music, instrumental playing, and just say, God, just breathe in your presence. Just breathe in your presence. What did Jesus do? He breathed on disciples and said, receive my Spirit. What do you think they did then? I think they took a deep, deep breath of the Spirit of God. We can do the same. He says, be still and know that he is God. Let's bring to him all our fears, all our worries, and all our anxieties. Thank him for the reality of his promised presence. Receive afresh that peace, that joy, that security, and that protection which his presence alone can bring. I'm going to ask Wendy to come up again, and she's going to play for us, and we're going to sing. And you can choose to sing, and you might want to stand. But I just encourage you just to, if you can sit or stand, it's up to you. Because I just want you to encourage you, just, this is a very familiar song to you, I think. Be still, for the presence of the Lord is here. I think we all know that song. I just encourage you just to drink in the Lord's presence as we sing that song. And you can choose to sing or just, do what I said and just breathe deeply of the presence of God. And just bathe in that song. We're just going to sing it through. We're going to sing it through once, just through once, and just in that time, just stand or sit as you wish. And Winnie's going to lead us, and I'm going to come up and close in prayer after that.
The glory of the Lord.
Lord, we really do thank you for your presence in our midst. We thank you, Lord, that as we open ourselves up to you, you open yourself to us and you fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that we may all just partake afresh of your Holy Spirit today. Fill us afresh as we need to be filled. Lord, as we go from this place today, Lord, we pray we would go with the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Lord, that we would take your Spirit to those outside these walls who need your touch. Lord, let's have a fresh assurance of your peace, of your joy, of your security and your protection over our lives. And we give you glory and praise. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.